This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called How to Get Through What You're Going Through. In this study, Pastor Rick and Kay Warren share biblical wisdom and their life experiences to help you find God's path to peace in even the most difficult seasons of life. First, if you or someone you know needs some powerful Bible-based encouragement, then stay with us, because in a few minutes we're going to tell you about the Journey Toward Hope guided Bible study. It's full of encouraging Bible verses, exercises, and journaling pages to help you draw close to God and renew your sense of hope. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message, or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com, or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called How to Get Through What You're Going Through.
I want you to notice four levels of small group relationships. Now, I want you to understand there are four levels of fellowship in a small group. And my prayer is that during the next 40 days, you're going to go one level deeper. There's the shallowest level and there's the deepest level. Now, the shallowest level of relationships in a small group, at work, wherever, neighborhood, is the fellowship of sharing. And the fellowship of sharing is, hey, how about them Packers? Boy, we really had another tough week suffering for Jesus in Southern California with this weather. You know, I almost had to put on socks. Must be winter, okay? And you know, it's that kind of shallow talk about where you just share your lives. Now, there's nothing wrong with the fellowship of sharing. Nothing wrong with it at all. It's just the shallowest level. And in fact, in your small group, you need to do a little bit of this every week you meet, where you just kind of share your lives. You catch up on each other's lives. That's an important part of being in a small group. What's going on at work? What's going on in your life? What's going on with your friends, your kids, or whatever? And the fellowship of sharing, there's nothing wrong with it. You can talk about trivial stuff. What movie did you see? What do you like? What did you see on YouTube? Well, you know, what'd you post on Facebook? You can share anything. And there's nothing wrong. It's good. It's a level of sharing, but it's the shallowest level. Now, the next level, which is a little bit deeper, more intimate, is the fellowship not of sharing, but the fellowship of studying. When we watch a video Bible teaching in a small group, and then we open our Bibles and we study it together, we've now gone to the next level. Because now we're talking about more than just the weather and the economy. Now we're talking about things that change our lives. So the fellowship of studying builds a deeper relationship with 3, 4, 5 other people in your small group. And in that studying, we go deeper. We grow closer together. But there's an even deeper level than that. The third level is the fellowship of serving together. Not studying and sharing, but serving together. If you want to grow close together with the people in your group, pick a project. Go out and help the homeless. Go out and help the poor. Go out and help people at prison. Go out and do some tutoring. Go out and help the guys down at Pendleton Marine Base. Or just pick. There's thousands of ways you can do good. By serving together, it draws you even closer. One time, my small group, a few years back, we went to Africa for 10 days, did a peace project together. We grew closer together in those 10 days than we had in all the years we'd been together, because we were living together for several days. And in serving, you actually grow closer than studying or sharing. But the deepest level, the most intimate level, the most soul-satisfying level, and you need a few of these relationships in your life, is the fellowship of suffering. And that's when you take a deep breath and you go, you guys, I need to share something. I really had a tough week. Things aren't going good in my work, in my marriage, with my kids, with my finances. And you take the chance to reveal the pain you're holding inside yourself. Now, Whenever you share a joy, it's doubled. Whenever you share a pain, it's cut in half. And you're not carrying such a heavy load anymore. So you need to share the fellowship of suffering. That's the deepest level of all. The small group that I'm in right now, I think I've been in it 8 years, this one. And there is no problem we haven't shared in 8 or more years. We've had bankruptcy. We've had tax problems. We've had cancer. We've had major illnesses. We've had deaths in the family. We've had problems with children. We've had major crises. We've had all, you could name all of the stuff that we've gone through. And it has drawn me close to them and it has drawn them close to me. And I know that if 2 o'clock tomorrow morning, I had to go to the emergency room, I know there are 3 other guys who would be there with me. Because I've been there for them and they've been there for me in the middle of the night when we needed each other. It wasn't just let's get together and study the Bible. It's the fellowship of suffering. Now, the deepest level of all is the fellowship of the ring, but we're not going to get into that. I'm just seeing if you're listening, actually. You know, I'm just some of you look like you're kind of dozing off at that point. So my precious. My goal is that you will get in a group so you can learn. Everybody needs a couple of those deeper. You don't need a lot of them in life, but you need a couple of people who are always there when you need them. And that's the fellowship of suffering. So the first thing God says I can do is I can use it for good. I need to remember. Now, the second thing I need to do to get through whatever I'm going through is I need to refuse. I need to refuse to listen to my fears. Remember that God can use it for good. And the second thing I do to get through what I'm going through is refuse to listen to my fears. Because the moment you get in a tough spot, Satan goes overtime in your life, filling you with worry. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, Paul says this. He's honest about his fears. He shares his fears. I think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and completely overwhelmed, and we feared, circle that word, feared. We feared we would never live through it. What are you afraid of right now? In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we learned not to rely on ourselves. Now, some of you are really good worriers. In fact, some of you are professional worriers. I mean, you're pros at it because you are naturally predisposed by your personality to worry. Now, people who tend to worry tend to marry people who are overconfident and then they are irritating each other all the time. Okay. And you both have your weaknesses. Overconfidence can be a weakness too. All right. Now, if your partner or your friend worries a lot, don't you get haughty and self-righteous about it because you've got your own weaknesses too. Some of you have a predisposition to anger and you lose your top easily. Some of you have a predisposition to depression and you naturally get depressed. Some of you have a natural predisposition to get jealous or envious. Some of you have a natural tendency to be insecure. We all have our hang-ups. But if I'm going to get through what I'm going through, I cannot be dominated by worry. So here's what I want to suggest you do if you're a professional worrier. Schedule your worrying. Put it in your schedule. In fact, I'm going to tell you, as your pastor, as your spiritual advisor, your spiritual coach, I'm going to tell you, I want you to schedule your worry period from 7 p.m. to 7:05 p.m. every night. When you start to worry during the day, okay, said Rick said I can't worry now. I'll put that off, and at 7 o'clock, then I will worry about it, okay? Now, from 7 to 7:05, you can have a full-on panic attack for all I care, okay? I just don't want you wasting the entire day worrying because worry is worthless. It has never changed anything. Worry is stewing without doing. It does not change the past. It cannot control the future. It just screws you up right now. It messes you up right now. So worry is worthless. So I want you to limit it to 5 minutes a day. And when you start to worry, instead of letting it dominate you and you just go over and over and over, and of course, the more you worry about it, the bigger it gets. It just exaggerates itself. You limit it to 5 minutes a day. I only want you wasting 5 minutes a day. And you schedule it and say, okay, that's my worry time, and so I'm not going to worry about it now. I've already planned to worry about it at 7 o'clock. And that way you don't mess up your whole day. I refuse to listen to my fears. This is what Paul did. Number three, rejoice in spite of my circumstances. That's the third thing you must do to get through what you're going through. I must rejoice in spite of my circumstances. Now, I'm not going to go into this in detail. I think it's pretty self-explanatory. But look up here on the screen and let me show you a couple of verses. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. How often are we to rejoice? Always. And are we to rejoice for our circumstances? No, it says rejoice in the Lord. You are not to rejoice in the problem. You are to rejoice in the Lord. Big difference. You're not to say, oh, thank you, God, I got this major problem. No, you rejoice in the Lord, not in your problem. Let me show you another one. Give thanks in all circumstances. Now, it says not some, all. Give thanks in all circumstances. But notice it says, in all circumstances. It doesn't say, give thanks for all circumstances. God is not asking you to be a masochist. If you go, oh, thank you, God, I got cancer. That's stupid. Oh, thank you, God, my loved one died. No. That's masochism. God isn't expecting you to put on a happy face. Everything's fine when it's not fine. That's just lying. It doesn't say, give thanks for the problems in your life. It says, give thanks in all circumstances, not for, in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you. This is God's will for you. People don't say, well, I'm in this problem right now. I just need to know what is God's will. I'll tell you what God's will is. Give thanks in all circumstances. Rejoice in the Lord always. Now, let me give you one more. James 1:2. Whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. Joy is a choice. It is a choice to rejoice. You always have a choice. And no matter how bad things are in your life, there is always something to thank God for. Now, this is exactly what Paul did. In verse 3, Paul is in the middle of a depressing time, and he says this, all praise to God, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. All praise. He's rejoicing. He is the source of every mercy and the God who comforts us. Now, I don't know what you're going through right now, and I really don't know what you're going to go through, but I do know this. Here's what you can rejoice over. God sees what I'm going through. God knows what I'm going through. God cares about what I'm going through. God loves me. God will never stop loving me. God is in control. God can give me the power to change. God will use this for good in my life. He will direct me, perfect me, correct me, inspect me, protect me. He will edify me, purify me, sanctify me. He will give me a ministry to other people. He will draw me closer to other believers. There are 100 things you can thank God for, even when the bottom has fallen out. I remember, I refuse, and I rejoice. The Bible says this, Romans 8:28 on the screen. We know that in everything, God works for the good. It's not all good, but God works for the good of those who love him. They are the people he called because that was his plan. Rejoice. Number four, recruit. I must recruit others to pray for me. This is the fourth thing Paul does, and this is the fourth thing you need to do to get through what you're going through. You need to recruit other people to pray for you. Now, this is very easy when you're in a small group, and that's why we want everybody in a small group. Because you just ask your small group to pray for you. Hey, I'm going through this tough time. If you're not in a small group, you are unprotected. You don't have a small group to pray for you constantly who know your needs. You don't have a group. You are unprotected. You don't have the strength that people in a small group do because you don't have people praying for you. The Bible says this in verse 11, God will rescue us because you are helping by praying for us. Now, friends, I'll just be honest with you. I don't know how this works. I don't know how it works. But there is additional power in group prayer that is not in when you just pray for yourself. There is more power in group prayer than in single power of you praying for yourself. The Bible says, if any two agree as touching anything, it shall be done. The Bible says, where two or more are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. You need that power to get through what you're going through. That's why you need to be in a small group. It's why you need to ask them to pray for you. The Bible says this on the screen, Galatians 6:2. Carry each other's burdens. We're commanded to do that. How do you do that? By praying for each other. Carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? We spent a month on it last fall. Love your neighbor as yourself. When you pray for other people, you are loving your neighbor as yourself. When they pray for you, they are loving you as themselves. Number 5, reaffirm my faith in God. Even in the darkest moment of my life, I must choose to reaffirm my faith in God. Now, Paul says, I'm overwhelmed, I'm crushed, I didn't feel like I was going to live through it, my feelings are telling me I'm going to die, I'm not going to make it, it is terrible, it's black, dark, and I can't see ahead. And yet he says this in verse 10, we are confident, that's reaffirming my faith, we are confident that he will, not might, he will continue to deliver us. Reaffirm my faith in God. Friends, most of you know Pastor Eric in our church. Eric and Stacy, 10 months ago, learned that their oldest daughter, Jessie, 12 years old, had inoperable terminal 2 brain tumors. And for the last 10 months, they have been watching their little 12-year-old girl slowly die. And they did the chemo, and they did the radiation, and they did all the medical science could possibly do. But this week, Jessie lost that courageous battle. She had started a web page with tens of thousands of others to help kids who were cancer, little kids who had cancer. She started Joy Jar. She started a thing called NIGU, Never Ever Give Up. She was an inspiration to people all over America. But she lost that battle, and she's now in heaven. I was at Eric and Stacy's house very quickly after Jessie passed away. And we were sitting there, and I asked Stacy, how in the world did you handle, how did you get through what you were going through the last 10 months while you're watching your 12-year-old daughter slowly die in front of your eyes? And there's nothing you can do to stop it. Stacy said, you know, Rick, a lot of times I just felt emotionally empty inside. I didn't feel anything. And I couldn't even pray. I didn't even have the words to say. I was just empty inside. And I could only pray one sentence. And this was a sentence. I trust you. I trust you. That is a godly woman. That is what it means to have faith. I trust you. I'm watching my little girl die, and I don't know why. And I know this is a broken planet and nothing works perfectly, but God, you are a good God, and I am going to trust you. Even when my heart is being ripped out. Job prayed, though he kill me, I will still trust him. That's faith. That's a godly man. He said, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Now, do you have that kind of faith that says, God, I'm going to trust you and live for you and do the right thing, even when things aren't going my way? Are you just a little puny baby and you only follow God when things go your way? But everything starts to fall apart and you walk away from God. That is the most immature. I must reaffirm my faith. God, I don't understand it, and I'm not going to get an explanation till I get to heaven. But I trust you. That's how you get through what you're going through. Now, how do you get that kind of faith? There's only one way. You got to get in this book. The Bible says this, faith comes from hearing the word of God. If the more you get of the Bible in your life, the stronger your faith's going to be. You get a lot of the Bible in your life, you're going to have a lot of faith. You get a little Bible, you got to have little faith. You get the Bible only once a week at church, you're going to have almost no faith. That's like fasting 6 days a week and then having a banquet on Sunday. There's no way you're going to be healthy. And you're going to need to have your faith strong, and you only get it by getting into this book. And that leads us to number 6. Rely on God's promises. When my heart is breaking, when I'm going through terrible times, the way I get through what I'm going through is I rely on the promises of God. Did you know there are over 6,000 promises of God in this book? 6,000. They're like blank checks. And they're promises about your career, promises about your kids, promises about your health, promises about your future and your past and all the things, your finances. But you can't claim those promises unless you know them. So you got to get in the word. Look at what the Bible says. Romans 15:4. Everything that was written in the past, he's talking about the Bible, was written, everything in the Bible is written to teach us. The scriptures give us two things, endurance and encouragement. The scriptures give us endurance and encouragement, so we have hope. If you are not in this book on a daily basis, you do not have the endurance nor the encouragement you need to get through what you're going through. Now, let me close with a promise, one of those 6,000 promises for those of you who are going through the fire right now. Look at this verse on the screen. James 1:12. God will bless you if you don't give up when your faith is tested. He will reward you with the crown of life just as he rewards everyone who loves him. Let's bow our heads. Would you pray this prayer in your heart? Jesus Christ, I open my life completely to you. I want to get to know you. I want to learn to love you. I want to learn to trust you. I want to grow my faith. Jesus Christ, I need you to help me get through what I'm going through. If you've never asked Jesus to do this, say, Jesus Christ, please save me today. Be my Savior and Lord. I don't understand it all, but I am saying yes to you today. If you're already, you've made that commitment, say, Jesus Christ, help me to take these steps to remember the good that you can bring out of my problem, to refuse to give in to the fear, to rejoice no matter what I'm going through, to recruit people in my small group to pray for me, to relax and rest and trust in you, to rely on your promises, and to reaffirm my faith. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Rick. If you just prayed to accept Jesus Christ into your heart, congratulations. You're now my brother or sister in the Lord. And you need to tell somebody, and why don't you tell me? Write to me rick@pastorrick.com. Just email me, rick@pastorrick.com, and tell me your story. I would love to read it. And by the way, I'll send you some free material to help you start in your new journey with the Lord. God bless you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. If this broadcast has encouraged you, then please share it with a friend who needs to hear this message. And be sure to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional at PastorRick.com. Rick will be back in a moment, but first, life can sometimes be challenging, isolating, and painful. Do you or someone you know need a powerful encouragement right now? Then let me tell you about The Journey Toward Hope. This guided Bible study book takes you on a journey to discover the five truths about who you are. You are loved. You have a purpose. You belong. You have a choice. And you are needed. This full-color vegan leather study tool is filled with scriptures, prayers, exercises, spaces to journal, and personal stories to help you uncover the hidden reasons you may lose hope and teach you how to maintain and bolster that hope for a lifetime. We'll send you your very own copy of Journey Toward Hope when you give a gift today to Daily Hope to take the hope of Jesus to a hurting world. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy. Or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
If you've been blessed by this message today, here's what I want you to do. Share it. Tell somebody about it. Now, there's a lot of great ways you can share Daily Hope. One of the easiest is by posting it on social media, on Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn or Instagram. But you'll find a share button today next to the message on my website, PastorRick.com. Don't keep the good news to yourself. It's too good to keep to ourselves. We've got to pass it on to others. Thanks for listening today, and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our Daily Hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.